I'm in the wilderness. It's inhospitable. But yet I'm still thriving. I'm still being promoted. I still got the keys to the building. I still got the book ideas. So maybe, just maybe, I'm in the wilderness because this is where I thrive. I'm in the wilderness because God sent his son to go ahead of me to show me how to live in the wilderness. And so I have to cast down imaginations that make me believe that this wilderness is going to kill me. You have been ordained and anointed to thrive. You have been ordained and anointed. You up there in the balcony with your hands up. You have been ordained and anointed to be a wild woman. You in the back of the building, you've been ordained. You in the front, you've been ordained and anointed to be a wild woman. You right here in the middle, everyone under the sound of my voice, you didn't just come to a conference. You came so that you could recognize that you were made to thrive in the wilderness. And the moment that you get that in your head, when you go into a session, you'll be asking the session, I need more tools because I'm going back in the wilderness. When I leave Denver, Colorado, I gotta go back into that marriage. I gotta go back into that workplace, but I'm not going by myself. I'm going with women who know what it's like to survive in the wilderness. I want to pray with you. For those of you who know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is a wilderness waiting for you, but you've been too afraid to push, so you haven't even made it past the dragon, I want you to flood this altar. I know it may be a little unorthodox for a conference. And some of you, you say, I'm in the wilderness, I just need tools. It's other women who say, I haven't made it to the wilderness yet because I'm too afraid of the dragon. I'm too afraid of the fears. I'm too afraid of the insecurities. I want to find my lane. I want to find my gifts. I want to find my purpose. I need to know what my identity is. But right now, I can't push in front of the dragon. I'm too afraid that God won't pull what I push. So I've been living in fear. But you said something that sent me into labor. You said something that started making contractions come. I need to go to counseling. I need to break an addiction, but I'm too afraid of who I'm going to be without the drugs. I'm too afraid of who I'm going to be without the alcohol. I want to walk away from the relationship, but I'm too afraid of who I'll be without it. I got a dragon in front of me, but I got a destiny inside of me, and I feel like it's time for me to push. I want you to push your way the way the woman pushed out her seed. I know the altars are full. I know the aisles are full, but I want you to push your way out of your seat, out of your comfort zone, out of the place that has made you comfortable. I want you to push your way out, because every time you push, I think the dragon gets nervous. Every time you don't mind moving out of your seat, I think the dragon starts shaking. I think the dragon starts wondering if he picked the wrong woman. I think he starts to see that you're going to survive. Lift your hands to heaven. Yeah. It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign that I can't push this thing out by myself. God, don't just pull up my seed, pull up me. God, just don't pull up my talents, pull up me. I need to push, but I can't do it unless I'm under your grace and under your anointing. In your own way, in your own language, I dare you to start worshiping. I dare you to start pushing into the presence of God in the face of your fears.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your.
of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and we want to lift up verse 5. Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. And it simply says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For every man shall bear his own burden. And for just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. When it's all said and done, you got to stand on your own two feet.
Amen. Amen.
When it's all said and done, you've got to stand on your own two feet. That was an old song many years ago that said, "Mama may have, and Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got its own." That's got his own. Now, why is that important even in the secular sense? It is important because when it's all said and done, you must take responsibility for your success as well as your failure. Must take responsibility for your ups as well as your downs. You must take responsibility for your part in the process of life, regardless of where you start from. What is more important is where you finish at. God holds us responsible according to this word. And when we look at this word, it says, for every man, this is a universal principle. It is applicable or applicable everywhere. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, what that means or entails, according to the context of scriptures, those that precede and even those that lead away, there are three things that we are responsible for. We're responsible first for ourselves. Tell your neighbor, I'm responsible for me. You'd be surprised how many times folk don't take responsibility for themselves. They're always pointing the finger. They're always blaming somebody else for what they don't have or where they are not, what they've not achieved, what they've not accomplished. They're always pointing the finger for the unhappiness in their lives. But you have got to learn to take responsibility for you. If I ain't happy, it's my own fault. Maybe it's the people I have around me. But either I choose to be around them or I choose to let them be around me. In either case, if I'm unhappy, it's my fault. I can keep walking down the line of life and pull out every example like that. But what you've got to realize is you have got to take responsibility for yourself. Look at what the word says in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Then verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then verse 3 says, for if a man think himself to be something,
when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now listen at this, my brothers and sisters, because if you don't take responsibility for your own sin, and if you don't take responsibility for your own self, you will always blame other folk for where life causes you to end up. As a matter of fact, you'll always be going down the wrong road. You'll always be going down the wrong way. You'll always be traveling at the wrong time. And you'll always end up at the wrong place unless you decide that you're going to take responsibility, do what God has called you to do, adhere to the signs and the map that guides you to the way that the Lord would have you to go. As a matter of fact, he made it simple when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so it's important to recognize that we have got to be responsible for the things God has given us responsibility for. You think about it, my brothers and sisters, how many times in life have we participated in the trials and the tests of life, and only at the end do we complain because the results don't turn out like we want them? How many times have we actually done wrong, but then we got mad because we got caught? Well, so-and-so did it. Y'all getting quiet on me. I'm going to think I'm preaching wrong today. Listen, the problem is with a whole lot of us is we want a free ride. We want to do nothing and get something. We don't recognize that our reward comes after our labor, that we have got to put forth that which God requires first for us to be rewarded in life and to live up to the expectations that he has purposed our lives for, in order to have a completion of life both in the spirit and in the natural. And so when we become cognizant of the fact that God has assigned us tasks in life that nobody else can complete for us, no one else can do what God has called us to do, God expects that we will hear and heed, honor and obey what he has said. And not to do so means that you do not get the rewards. Verse 4 says of the 6th chapter of Galatians, but let every man prove his own work. Let every man examine, scrutinize, test his own work. Now, prove is interesting in this context, because what it literally means that after the examination is over, after the scrutinization is over, after the tests are over, that it is what you said it is when the tests are complete. It means that it has been authenticated that, yes, your work is good, your work is right, because it's been inspected. You see, nothing is really, really worth having unless it's been tested, proven, inspected to be authentic. One of the things about Jesus' ministry what made it so attractive and so authentic was the fact that his ministry had been tested and proven, so much so that everything that the enemy tried to do against his ministry came to naught, because Jesus and his ministry was real. Don't think that you won't go through stuff. You say you're a child of God? Prove it. Where's the evidence to the world that you are who you say you are? See, if you are a witness, then that means that you've got some experience with the situation. Where is your evidence? Because some people don't want to hear you talk, they want to see you walk. Show me some proof that you are who you say you are. Show me some proof that you've got the relationship you say you have with God. Show me some proof that God is real. What can you tell me? What can you show me? How can you lead me to help me know that he's real so that I might experience him too? Well, my brothers and sisters, you need to know that you will be tempted. You will be tried. You will be tested. Don't think the devil is just going to take your word for it that I'm born again. Oh, really? Then that means you have a change in nature. So if you have a change in nature, then that means you have a change in desires. You've got a change in desires. That means you've got a change in doings. You got a change in doings. That means you got a change in destination. So if that is real, let me see how you feel about this old stuff. And he'll take you back down memory lane to see where your heart is, see where your head is, and even see where your hands are. If it's still wrapped up in your past, or is it passed on to your future and you're walking in the newness of life? Don't think the devil, just because you say I'm saved, is going to leave you alone. He wants you back. Yes, he do now. He wants you back. Ooh, baby, he wants you back. He ain't trying to let you go like talking about. Listen, and he knows the worst way to hurt Jesus is to mess with you. That's why Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. His job is to guide you. His job is to guard you. His job is to teach you. His job is to be with you, so that you have all sufficient to make it through each and every day successfully. Do you really know who you are in the Lord? Oh, yes, sir. You are responsible for yourself, but you're also responsible for your sins. You're responsible for the things that you do that please God, but you're responsible for the things you don't do that displease God. You are responsible for what he has commanded you to do and you've left undone, or you've seen others do it and say it has been or is being done. I don't have to do it. God's steadily calling preachers to the ministry. God is steadily calling witnesses of Christ. God is steadily calling missionaries to the field. Why, when you've got some of the best already in existence? I'll tell you why. Because it requires special and unique personalities to reach everybody. One preacher can't preach to everybody, and they hear him. God assigns those to whom he desires them to reach. There are just some of us who can't leave outside of these walls and minister the same way as we do inside. All of us can witness, but all of us can't minister the same way. And therefore, there are just some people the drug addicts won't hear. But you take somebody who was an ex-drug addict and put the word of God in his heart and put a testimony in his mouth, and he would be able to reach that drug addict in a way that I never could, because I have no experience of where he is, when that one who is an ex can say, man, I know what you're going through. I've been there, done that. And if he did for me what he did for me, surely he can do the same for you. his attention is arrested. His mind is accosted. And he says, say on, preacher. And then you start telling him. Listen, I know the feeling of this and that, and you start breaking it down, and then he knows, wait a minute, you do know. But look at you now, look at you now. He said, what I am by the grace of God. And he sent me to you to tell you he can do the same thing for you. And so every personality God matches with someone who can identify, who can relate, who can touch him. And that's why I know one church and one preacher, one Christian can reach everybody. That's why you say, well, why we got to do it? Everybody else is doing it. Because he called us to do it. He called us to get out on the streets and evangelize.
Yes, he did.
He called us to be missionaries, to go out on the home field and the foreign fields and minister to folk on behalf of Christ, to be ambassadors. He's called us to do the part that he's called us to play, though many others are playing that same part. Can I tell you, nobody can do it like us. Whomever we may be called of God, no one can do it like we do it. For the people God wants us to minister to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so when our sins are discovered, God wants us to get it together. Ye which are spiritual. Verse 1 says, restore. Don't kick them out. Don't be condescending, acting as if you are all of that. Ain't never sinned. Ain't never missed it. You've been walking with the Lord. You've never even missed a step. You've been going. You've never got tired. You've never had trouble. Don't act like you all are. Because the truth of the matter is, God knows better. And so do you. Restore. You're responsible for your self, for your sin, but also for your soul. You're responsible for your soul. You can say, well, I ain't like the preacher. He ain't preach right. No. You can't blame the preacher for that. You might not like how he preaches, but it's what he preaches that has the message, that has the way. And even if that's the case, if you don't like him, then go somewhere where you like him. Because your soul is at stake. I wouldn't want to go to a place where I sit there and condemn the preacher or the preaching or the worship every Sunday. Look at it. Look at you. See, I'm the kind of preacher who would say that back to you, you know. You got some of them other pious ones who might not say that, but I'm going to be like, listen here, look at the position God put us in. I'm here talking to you about what God said, talk to you about. You talking about me because you hating. It ain't going to save your soul to hate on me or to hate on nobody else. As a matter of fact, all it reveals is who your true father is. And if you ever needed the Lord, you sure do need the Lord now, right now. But that comes from holy boldness and knowing who you are and knowing what your assignment is and being anointed to do like Jesus. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and don't get mad. Don't care about who get mad with the truth. He walked in his father's temple one day, and there they were exchanging money erroneously, taking false weights and measuring and giving folk back less than they would do. Jesus got upset. He said, you know, sometimes it's time for preaching, and then other times it's just time for whipping. And he went there and he took the tables and he turned them over. No, Jesus did that. Yes, he did. That might not seem Christian-like. That might not seem meek and mild, but there's a time when you have to take a righteous, holy stand, a bold stand against sin and sinners, even if it's right in the church. Amen. Folk been doing wrong so long that they get comfortable with it and dare you to tell them something about, we've been doing this before you got here. Well, that's why the Lord sent me here. It's time to straighten this mess out and do it God's way. If my tradition is not God's word based on God's truth, then it ought not be no tradition in his house. It ought to be the way he said, and he be true, then all men be liars. And so we must be responsible, listen, for our own soul. This word says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Be responsible for his soul. Burden. This word burden in verse 5 differs in the root meaning from the word burdens, plural, in verse 2. Verse 2 has to do with the daily difficulties of life, has to do with those things that we can assist each other with. But in verse 5, this word burden carries on a far more weightier and more massive matter. It has to do with the content of the soul. It has to do with that truly involves eternity. And so that responsibility is every man, every woman, every girl, every boy's responsibility to bear, to be responsible for their own soul. They have got to be the ones who will hear and heed what thus saith the Lord. They have got to be the ones who understand that Jesus made clear, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to understand that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that unless you decide to yield to Jesus, don't care how well mama knew him or daddy knew him or grandmama, grandpapa knew him, it don't matter how well others knew him or know him who are connected to you, it's personal. You've got to know him for yourself. And that responsibility belongs to every man. When it's all said and done, old folk used to put it this way, every tub got to sit on its own bottom. Every tub has to sit on its own bottom. In other words, you cannot escape what God has made you responsible for as it relates to your soul. And so my brother, my sister, I would be ever so careful to hear the voice of God, to sense the Spirit of God.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Divine Word of God, brought to you by Reverend Eugene Stevenson, host pastor of the New Jerusalem Baptist Church.